Blog Talk Radio.
How you doing?
I hope we can help you. There is this one of these. Where do I go to get the second one?
To the register. They can get it for you.
At
it may be in the back.
Okay. Can I drop the box there now and go do some shopping?
I believe so.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, amen. Hey, got you, Tim. God bless you. God bless you, brother.
Amen.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is what? End Time Global Link Ministry. Good afternoon. Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Turn your radio on. Turn your internet on. Turn it on. We've got some good news. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is on his way. Don't worry about it. Amen. We know this. We know one thing. The rapture month is September. September. And we are looking for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're looking for the trumpets to blow. We're looking for the transformation. We're looking for the renewal of our body. We have a body just like Christ. We're looking for that. I'm looking for it. I know the majority of the world is not looking for nothing but to continue on in their sins and do what they want to do and said, that's a bunch of hogwash. It's wasting my time. These preachers getting on the internet talking about Jesus Christ. Well, look what the internet doing. They're talking about junk. They're talking about disasters. They're talking about killings and murders. Amen. Don't you want to hear some good news? Well, you're going to hear some good news this afternoon. Greetings in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and my co-worker, amen. Brother Tim Jackson working in there with me. Amen. Still on the firing line. We're still looking up for the return of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the time and season in which he is to return. Don't know the hour. I don't know the day. I don't know the specific time, but we know one thing. This is the season. This is the season. The season of autumn. That's harvest month. And amen. Jesus Christ is going to come and get the church, and he's going to harvest the church out of here. And then the tribulation is going to come. But before we get into anything else, I want you to bow your heads in prayer, and then I'm going to give it over to Tim Jackson and let him start it off. Amen. So glad to have him with me this afternoon. Amen. We're going to try to cover much as we can in the next 2 hours, so get your ears listening. I don't know if you went to church this morning or you're going this afternoon, but amen. But you can hear something on this internet right now from Brother Jackson and Brother Bazaar, that the church preachers are not telling nobody. They're not telling nobody. They're trying to hide it. They're trying to wash over it. They're still in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are fabulous books. Amen. They're not on the right thing. They're on motivation speeches. They're not on the cross. They're not on the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they're not on a Christian living and holy living. And they're not on the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this afternoon. We thank you for the ones that are listening in. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit move upon this radio broadcast, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, end time message, salvation message, holiness. Amen. Let us be a light to the world and let the world know that there's only one way man can get to God. There's only one way man can get to heaven. There's only one way man can understand a little bit who God is and what he's undone, and that's Jesus Christ. You must come to Jesus Christ in order to know God. The Bible said there's no other name given under heaven whereby men can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. For he is the Lord, he's the Savior, he's the Redeemer, he is the Emancipator, he is the Warrior, he is the love of my life, and I thank him for it. And at this time, we're going to go into our session, and we're going to read the word, and we're going to pray, and we're going to shout for the glory of God, because he is a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Jackson, come on, help me out. Drop that sludge hammer.
Amen, brother. How you doing? Amen.
Did you already
get your prayer? You already prayed?
Yes, sir. You go ahead and work on it.
Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. Amen. I was on the air. Amen. And all of a sudden, it just kind of went away. But amen. Thank God I'm back. Amen. We thank God for you all for tuning in and listening today. Amen. Very important things that are going on in the world. Amen. That we want to make sure that we are preparing ourselves as the children of the Most High God, that we are ready for the return of Christ.
Yes.
I've been seeing online on social media where people are saying stuff like, he says it's going to be this Friday. I mean, not this Friday, but this upcoming, I think it's this upcoming Friday or Saturday. Next Saturday, they say, amen, that Christ is supposed to return to get the church. Amen.
Amen.
I get it. Amen. We believe it soon, in the moment of a twinkle of an eye. Amen. It could be as soon as today, tomorrow. Could be Friday. We know what the word says, no man knows the day nor the hour. But we
all
are
right.
Believing. We feel that it is soon. Amen. I don't really see much room that we will be here much longer. Amen. Now, I know those of you that are enjoying life, life is great. Life is great on this end as well. Amen. Even though I have trials and tribulation, life is still good. That is part of being a child of God. You're going to go through trials and tribulation. Amen. And so,
amen.
I believe that the time is soon. But,
soon.
Amen, who knows?
Who knows?
Amen. No one really knows. But I tell you, deep in my spirit, and let me tell you why I say that I don't believe that time is not very long. Amen. We look at the situation. We look at the powers that be, how powerful a lot of these first world, we call them first world countries like the United States, the United Kingdoms, China, Russia, a lot of these nations that have grown so powerful, meaning in technology and weaponry, they've grown so powerful. It's not the days of sword and shield or spears or just a rifle and a cannon. Amen. We actually have the power now to destroy life at the push of a button. I'm talking about massively, into the tens of thousands, man can take life. That's powerful, that you have a weapon that you can kill tens of thousands or thousands of people at the push of a button. It is rumored, possibly true, I believe that it's true, that they have laser beams, which is old technology. It's ancient technology. It's not new. The fallen angels, when they came from heaven, they brought a lot of knowledge with them. So this is not something that's far-fetched in believing that they have that. I even remember, I can't remember if it was back in the 90s or the early 2000s, they actually talked about that, how they had laser beams. They had lasers that could shoot you or could penetrate. I believe this. It's not nothing new. We know that. They've been showing this stuff in movies and in cartoons ever since I was a kid, and even before I was born, they were showing this on the old movies about laser beams and how they can beam down things to make things burn or catch on fire. Amen. So this is not new,
brother,
to us. We are very much aware of this technology. We're very much aware of the things that go on in the world. Amen.
Amen.
The cat is out the bag. Let's just say that.
Yeah, the cat is loose.
Cat is out the bag. Daniel the prophet spoke of this when he said, knowledge shall be increased. We know the last 200 or 300 years, knowledge has been increased. We have so much access to information in one place. Libraries first accounted for this over thousands of years ago. We know back in ancient Egypt they kept records, very precise, good records. In fact, they kept such precise, good records back in Kemet, that they knew exactly where they came from, which is why the Romans were divisive in destroying, attempting to destroy this information, because they knew exactly who they were and where they came from. They acknowledged that they came from the interiors of deep Africa. Amen. Which, you know, this day and time, people don't want to acknowledge that, but that's true. Amen. It has a lot to do with Bible content. Amen. But what I want to talk about is the day of the Lord. Amen. That's what I want to talk about today. And
my God.
Lord have mercy. Yes. Amen. Because a lot of people are confused on what the day of the Lord is. Amen. Amen. Some people speak of it as being a thing of the past, something that happened a long time ago. But we have to acknowledge that the day of the Lord and his – and first of all, to understand the day of the Lord, you have to understand the context of what it is. It mostly referred to God's judgments and punishments. God has always judged and punished the world. Amen. We saw it first.
Come on now. Come on.
We saw it back in ancient times with the flood. That was a type and shadow of what? The day of the Lord.
Yes,
I always understand
yes,
that when things happen, it's going to actually come to a head. It's going to come to a point to where there's going to be an actuality of something that's going to take place on this earth. Kind of like saying, here's a perfect example. What did Enoch say?
Come
Enoch
on.
Prophesied and said, this was before the flood. Enoch said, the day of the Lord. Enoch spoke about Christ's return. Amen.
Yes, sir.
This was back
yes,
before,
sir,
before Christ
yes,
came,
sir.
Before Daniel came, before the prophets came, before Abraham, before Noah. Enoch spoke of, so we know that this, the day of the Lord, when the Son of Man returns, had was spoken of back in the days before the days of Noah. Amen?
Come on.
So
Come on.
This is nothing new. So when people try to say, oh, the day of the Lord in this part of history, the day of the Lord in that part of history, look, we all know that there's going to be a time to where there's going to be a definite, specific day of the Lord, a great event is what I'm saying. Just like they prophesied Christ was going to come the first time. That was a great event. Then they knew he was going to come back a second time. Amen. Now, some of them didn't know he was going to return again until he really announced it, that he was going to come again. But get this. Enoch was all, it was already revealed. So, see, when I say they didn't know, they didn't study the scriptures. Didn't you hear what Christ said that told them that they knew not the scriptures? Meaning that
come on.
They didn't they
come
were
on.
So religious they did not in depth go deep and study and research the scriptures, which is what's wrong with people nowadays in church. They don't go
exactly.
in depth and
exactly.
amen and research the scriptures. They just make comments off a few scriptures they didn't read this part of the Bible, they didn't read that part of the Bible, but there's no in depthness, amen, and understanding with certain things and events and the audiences of the Bible. You must know who the audience is in the Bible, who is talking to, who is referring to. See, when Enoch made that statement back in ancient time, over probably 5,000 years ago, definitely over 4,500 years ago, he was the audience he was speaking to was to those in the end time. There is an end time. There is an eschatology. How people come with this that, oh, there is no end time. I'm like, what do you mean there is no end time? End time simply means the end of the rule of faith. We are in the end time. We are almost nearing the end of the Luciferian satanic had on this planet for 6,000 years. You don't think 6,000 years is a long time? I've been blessed to be on this earth 50 years. I feel like I kind of been here for a little bit. Nowhere near as long as Elder Bazaar, but I've been here 50 years. You couldn't fathom living that long on this earth, especially with all this sin and wickedness going on. Amen?
Come on, brother. Fix it.
God said that man was so wicked, he said it grieved his heart that he created man, that he had to shorten the days of man's time. Man used to live hundreds and hundreds of years, 500 years, 200 years. What's his name? Methuselah lived almost 1,000 years. 969 years. That's right. He lived almost 1,000 years. That is a very, that's a long time. 1,000 years to walk this earth. That is a long time. 200-300 years is a long time to be alive. He was on this earth nearly 1,000 years. What are we saying? Amen.
Amen.
So what are we saying? We're talking about, amen, the Luciferian time is almost up. So 6,000 years to have a grip on this planet, the way and the shape and mold of societies and the governments the way that he wanted, and to get it going the way that he wanted, that's a long time to rule.
Yes, it is.
Years. Amen. But now, watch this. I got to share some scriptures with you. I want to go ahead and get to the thick of it.
Come on.
Amen. I got some scriptures. I don't want to take up too much time.
No, you
amen,
go ahead,
but I
brother.
To...
You work with it. Tell it.
Amen. All glory be to God. Amen. We're just trying to show you that the day of the Lord is coming near, and it is a specific time reference in the future, not just during the time of Joel or during the time of Jeremiah, the prophet, and Elijah. No, we understand types and shadows. It wasn't just judgment on Babylon or the Roman Empire. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. We're talking about there's going to be a day of reckoning. See, you got to understand scripture. That day of reckoning is going to signify that Christ is going to, just like God told Satan to his face, amen, that Christ was going
amen.
To, he was going to cast all his enemies down. That's what the day of the Lord is about. It's about him casting all his enemies down, putting his enemies under his feet, and also what? Amen. Amen. He's going to put an end to Lucifer's rule over mankind. He took over that. Amen, brother. All glory be to God. He took over the deed to the planet over in Genesis, the Garden of Eden. He knew what his plan was. Amen. When he saw man, and this is just me speaking. The Bible don't say that. Don't say this. I believe that Lucifer was possibly trying to get to Adam before even came on the scene. But he probably just couldn't get to Adam. Amen. But
amen.
What he did, when he saw the woman, he's like, okay, this is obviously, you know how you make a copy of something, it's not as strong as the original? Well, that's what he saw. Eve was taken from Adam, meaning that she was feminine. He knows that she was a woman. So she definitely half or lesser than what he was. Amen, because she was a woman. So that was God's intent. God didn't make Steve and Adam, or Adam and Steve.
All right, come
amen.
On now.
He made Adam and Eve, so he made a woman. So the woman is lesser than the man because he wanted her to be what? Tender. He was purpose for her to be half of what Adam was, meaning that it was purpose that God wanted her to be soft and gentle. That's what women are, feminine. That's what we like as men. We like feminine women, not these old hardcore, bully, burly women that want to be men and all want to be masculine. There's nobody attracted to that nonsense. Not no real man anyway. Amen. So God, by the Most High, and Lucifer saw that, said, oh, she's weaker than him, so maybe I can get to her. That's why he approached her, and that's why she gave him, she entertained the serpent. Amen? So what I want to do, amen, because I don't want to go into that because that's really not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the day of the Lord. Go with me. I got so many scriptures, amen, but we're just going to try to narrow it down. Go with me to 2 Peter. Amen. I got a sermon I'm going to speak on next Sunday that's around these scriptures, but not this particular scripture. It's going to end actually with verse 9. It started verse 1, my sermon next week. But what I want to deal with today is the day of the Lord. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 9. 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 9. This is what it says. It says, the Lord knoweth. Amen? You see that? That means the Heavenly Father, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, God knows how to what? What does he know how to do? how to deliver the godly. Who are the godly? Understand scripture when you interpret the Bible. You got to break down the scripture. You can't just be reading stuff and random stuff. You got to break it down. Deliver the who is the godly? Those who have chosen throughout the ages to acknowledge him. How do you acknowledge God? I've been saying this for many years. It's called the Shema. It means that the Lord thy God is one God, and there is no other God before him. For our God is what? A jealous God. That's what it means. That's the godly. We serve this one awesome God, the creator of all things. He's unquestionable. He's undeniable. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's an awesome God. He's a loving God. That's who the godly believe. That's who we serve. All the way from Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Lot, you name it, Joseph, the saints of God, Jacob, Isaac, amen. The saints of God serve this God. David, the children of Israel, for the ones that did serve it, amen. We know that God has given us, amen, a title. We are the children of God throughout the ages. It don't matter if it was from Enoch, from Adam, all the way to today. Amen, to the to Elder Bazaar, to me, Tim, amen, for all the saints today. We are the godly people of God. So God knows how to what? Deliver us out of temptations. Understand the scriptures. Amen? So what are temptations? There are some things that can tempt you. Amen? The Bible says, I'll put no more on you than you could bear. There are some things that will walk in front of you that you can handle. Maybe a sexy, fine woman, a pretty woman, got the curves and the hips. Amen? That's really something that, amen, you can really, amen, depending on how strong you are, that's really something that you could really just walk away from. You really can. Now, we understand some men can't, especially if she's coming on to a man strong. Some men may not be that strong to handle that. Amen? Some men are. Some men are like, man, I'm not interested in that. I'm not going to be dragged into that. I'm good. But what the scripture is referring to, that there are some temptations that are so deep. See, a lot of times when you know, I always used to say, I remember the time, and I've used this example before, where I lost my job, my wife didn't have no money, she didn't have a job, and we was like down to the bar and I cabin and food. Amen. And so God made a way, but that day reminded me of Revelation, where there's going to be food scarcity. Food prices are going to be so high, it's going to cost you a day's worth of pay, pretty much, just to even buy bread. That's insane. We don't think things like this could happen. Amen? So all I'm saying to you is we have to think about, when the Bible says temptations, what temptations are coming during the tribulation? Because this is a reference to what's coming. Amen. Whether you want to believe it or not, you can look at the structure of the scripture. It says, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This is pointing to, again, the day of the law, the day of judgment, the day of Christ, where he's going to judge those who have rejected him, those that have scoffed at him, laughed at him, said, oh, that ain't true, oh, that ain't going to happen, there's no Christ. We see a lot of that at this day and time. All these different groups and religions that are coming against Christ, that are coming against God, we see these things happening. Amen? So we must know and must understand, amen, what's about amen. To take place on this planet. What's about to take place on this planet. So we know that what? Amen. He knows how to deliver the godly, the righteous, the just, those that love him, those that serve him. Now, if he's going to deliver us, my gosh, how do people come up with the church will be here during the tribulation? So my only conclusion, hey, Master, give me some water, that I can think of, is that we must be dealing with people that's not saved. We have to be dealing with so many people that's on social media, that's in the churches, when they say that the church will be here during the tribulation, I've come to the conclusion that how can they be saved? What Bible are they reading out of? To miss this is in plain sight. It says in 2 Peter, the 9th chapter, 2nd chapter, 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver. But God, who is he delivering? If God delivers something, you know how you deliver something? That means to remove it, to take it somewhere. So if he's going to deliver us from what? Out of temptation. Do you know that the temptation that's going to be during the Great Tribulation is going to be so vast that basically it will be hard for you, not saying that you're not saved, but see, you're missing the point if you think he's referring to that. What he's saying is it would be hard for you to maintain being a just person, not in your style. That means to live righteously. In other words, if you got let's say you're a believer and you got 5 children, I believe God that he would take care of me. But why would God have to take care of hundreds of millions of saints when he could just remove them from the situation? Why would he do that? Why in the world would God have to, when he know he's punishing those that have not acknowledged him? Now, we know he took care of the children of Israel and the whip he gave them manna to eat. Amen. We know that if it was necessary for us to be here in the tribulation, that God would take us through it and take care of us.
Yeah.
Amen. We know that he could do that. But, amen, but we know that the scripture said that his way of taking care of us is he's just going to deliver us. He's going to remove us from the situation. That would make more sense versus trying to all over the planet, not saying that he can't, but all over the planet providing manna so that you can eat, you and your family. Because what I'm saying
Lord.
To you
yes,
is
Lord.
The most person that think he's the most right, the man or woman that think they're the most righteous, would be tempted to steal. If you got 5 miles of, amen, and this is, we're
amen.
Not even to the market. We're not even to the market of the beast. You got 5 miles to feed. You must ask yourself, what are you going to do? What are you going to do to feed your family? You're going to do what, you're going to do whatever it takes to feed. You're not going to let them babies just starve. Amen. That means
all
that
right.
You're going to be stealing, lying, cheat, and this is just with food. This is just part of it. This ain't all of it. Folks gonna be threatening your wife. They're gonna be threatening your kid. It's gonna be a terrible day when the saints are gathered together and taking off this.
Come on!
Will be in chaos. You know what's so funny? Brother, I've been getting these videos recommended to me on YouTube. They're showing. Because the videos that I watch pertain to, you know, what's going on in the world. So they got these, what are they called? Doomsday packages. That's what they call it. They got doomsday camps. See, most of the people don't even know nothing about that. They got doomsday camps. People are already prepared. They got these little groups together. And they're already prepared for, they got guns, they got food, they got backpacks, they got that you could think of, they're preparing for this. Now, what sense does it make that we as a church, as the saints, do as the world do? Well, I've never known that we got to do as the world. That's the world preparing for the chaos.
Uh-huh.
They call it, what do they call it? The apocalypse. That's what they call it. We're preparing for the apocalypse. We got to prepare for that. Christ said, be ready. He said, watch.
Be ready.
So, be ready. Because I'm coming
to
you. See, the difference in letters, he didn't say prepare. Because now if he would say prepare, that means that we're getting ready to go. No, he said be ready. So think
Come
about
on.
This. If I tell my wife, let's say I'm somewhere, and I'm telling my wife and kids, and I know I'm coming by to pick them up, what do I say? Do I say be prepared? No, I don't say
yeah.
be prepared. I say be ready. That signifies to me that I'm coming to what? Hit you. What?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's what our daddies do.
Yes, sir.
We had those cell phones back then. When daddy was coming to get, he would say, be ready. I'm on my way.
Be
he
ready.
May call from a landline phone from a certain place. And from the church, he would say, I'm on my way home, so be ready. I'm coming. He don't say prepare. No, he said, be ready. Amen. Because he know he was coming
Amen.
To get us. Amen. And take us
Come on.
Somewhere. Amen. So now, going back to the scripture, verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver. God knows how to deliver us. All this nonsense, supposed to be talking about, oh, well, we're going to go through the trail, all this sad doom and gloom. That does not sound like my God. It just don't sound. It may be
no.
your God, so then your false God, but the real God is not saying that. He said, I know how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished.
Yeah.
Now you see the separation right there. Don't you see the separation? He said, and to reserve. Now, in other words, he's going to reserve you. In other words, he's going to hold you there. That's what reserve means, to hold. You're going to basically, you're going to be on earth. And you got to be here for that what? Judgment to be punished.
Okay.
But not the
fact. Yes, Lord.
It didn't include us.
Yes,
you
Lord.
The scripture? We're not included in the judgment. So that means that when the four horsemen ride, when the Antichrist rides, we
yeah,
won't be,
come
won't
on.
Be no part of it. When the war horse rides, the warrior on the red horse rides, we won't be here. He said that he's reserving the unjust. He didn't say he's reserving us both. He said, I'm reserving the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. We won't be here. So when famine rides, man, starvation going to hit this earth like crazy.
Yes,
he won't
is.
Be here.
Yes, it is.
We won't be here. Then he says, when death and hell, there's going to be so much
Woo.
Death on this planet, they ain't going to be able to bury the people. It's going to be, the earth going to be smelling. The fish is going to die. Blood going to be in the water. No water to drink. You think we're going to be here for that? All
Come
I can
on, preacher.
Is that if you say you're going to be here for that, then you're right. You're probably not saved. That means you will be here for that because that's what you want. You want to be here. You think in your mind that you could prepare for something like that. God said, I ain't got to prepare you for nothing like that because it's not. God said, this is a punishment against the unjust. So you don't even know what it's about. You think it's about you. You think it's your test. You get your test every day. Paul said your test has been for the past 2,000 years. Christ said that your test has been for the past 2,000 years. So now you want to go through the tribulation with them? That means you're not saved. So if you want to go
Come
through
on.
It, then go through it with them. But if you think that you are prepared mentally, physically, spiritually, you will definitely get broken because you are not
You're
saved.
Broke.
You cannot prepare for that because let me tell you something. As a man, I can take on a lot more than my wife and kids. I'm a man by myself.
Yeah.
But I share with y'all through the week how the devil attacks. He couldn't handle Adam. Adam said, I'm good. I don't care what you throw at me. But it was his wife that he used to get to him. The devil
Come on,
used your family to get to you. I got to say this before I turn over to the brother. Let me go
over
this. I got plenty of scriptures, but I want to read this one particular scripture before I move forward. You already know what it is. Revelation 3:10. In fact,
Come on.
I'm going to start at verse 9 first because I'm really going to read Revelation 3:9-13, but I'm going to start at 19. I won't take up too much time from the brother. Revelation 3rd chapter, verse 9. This is what it says. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. There are people who acknowledge that they are the Jew. They are the true church. They are not. They are not the real church. Amen?
Come on, preacher.
Behold, I will make them come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. You know who this is talking to? Remember we've been telling you about Nimrod, how all these false religions and church, they parade like, oh, we believe God. Don't y'all see him all over the earth? We believe God, all the way from fake Jews. These fake religions say that they don't love everybody, the Mormons, the Muslims, and what's the other group? Uh-huh. Jehovah's Witness, all these fake religions. Do you know that most of them read from the Bible? They're not Jews. They're of the what? Synagogue of Satan. And don't
Come
you
on,
know,
preacher.
Now that we are in the getting close to the last church, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
All these fake, false religions are going to all come together as one. Don't y'all
Come
see
on.
It happen? This is just so mind-boggling that the church and preachers don't even see this, most of them. They are coming together to form this one harlot, this one great whore.
Come on, preacher.
Full of what? Full of abominations.
Yes,
Lord, have mercy. Now watch what it said. I will make them come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Watch what verse 10 says. It says, now watch this. Now you see the separation again. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience,
come on.
I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. I just told you what the temptation was.
All right.
The temptation is so great. What's going to happen on this planet is going to be so great. The temptation to do what? To sin, to do wrong, to live unjust before God. God said, I'm not going to put my church through that. For what? Then you got some folks who want to come through the back door and say, well, why would God let his true children of Israel? You got to remember, Christ was sacrificed and died on the cross because of what? The nation of Israel. Israel betrayed Christ. Amen. Remember that? And they rejected
Amen.
Christ. And still to this day, they are rejecting Christ. So remember, what is the reason that you're going to hell in the lake of fire? Simply because you reject. Do you know how many people that was from, amen, rejecting Christ? You know how many people that was, let me give you some examples. The children of Israel, just because they left with Israel don't mean that they were servants of God. There were so many people complaining. Israelites, they were complaining, oh, we should be back with the Pharaoh. God eventually just got tired of them and destroyed them. It don't matter because you are born an Israelite. If you reject God, you are enemy
come
of God.
On, come on
and
now.
Right now, the people that are supposed to be the children of God are God's enemy. He's not through with them because he loves them. They're all over the planet. He loves them.
Yeah.
But guess what? We know that the diaspora is spread all over the planet. Amen? But guess what? He's not through with them. He's not through. But for those that reject him, they got to be destroyed. They won't cross
come
over.
On,
amen.
Come on now.
Amen. They
yes,
will not
sir.
Cross over. Now watch this. I got something else to say before I hand over to the brother.
Go ahead,
ask
man.
Yourself this. For those theorists who say that the church is going to be here for the tribulation and that we're going to go through the tribulation and that God's going to rapture us up or gather us together at the end of the tribulation. Answer me this. When he says, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, what has he kept you from? If you're going through the tribulation, what has he kept you from? That don't make any sense.
Well,
there's no reason for him keeping you at the end. He's going to keep you, what, through the millennium? That don't make any sense. He's going to keep you at the end of the tribulation?
Uh-uh.
That don't make no sense. What's the purpose of keeping you at the end of? You already went through it. That makes no
yeah.
sense. He's going to keep you, like the scripture said, Christ said himself, from the hour of temptation. That is the great tribulation. However the way you want to see it, whether you believe that we're going to be kept in the cloud in the sky, or you believe we're going to be kept on the ground or in a mountain, however the way you want to keep it, amen, I believe we're going to be gathered together to go back with him.
You're
That's
gathered
what I
together.
Believe. Amen.
Yes,
now, that's what I believe.
Amen.
So either way it goes, you're going to be kept, meaning that you won't be touched by the tribulation. You won't have to worry about none of the four horsemen that's going to ride. You don't have to worry about the Antichrist. You don't have to worry about the warrior on the red horse, amen, the war. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry about famine and starvation and trying to provide for your family, your kids, and pay your bills. You don't have to worry about death and hell. You don't have to worry about none of the stuff that's going to hit this planet during the Great Tribulation. And most of all, you're not going to have to deal with the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. The church
Come on.
Will not, must not, cannot. We won't be here.
No, sir.
That makes no sense. You got to prepare and go through the tribulation. Well, what is he keeping you for then? If you got to go through that. When Noah, let me share something with you. I'm going to get to the brother. The flood. One good example. Amen. Because I got some, man, I got some scripture on the show. I'm going to come back, though. The flood is one good example. The flood. Noah and his family was found righteous. They were saved. The protection was the ark. They wasn't affected by the flood. They went out there in like everybody else that was drowning. They wasn't affected by that. Amen.
Amen.
The other one is Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his daughters. The protection that God had. God gave them warning and gave them time to get out of the city before he rained down fire. Warning always come forth before destruction. Why do you think so many people get saved? They see this stuff that's going on. They say, you know what, man, I'm looking for something. We preach and they hear us, they get saved. Because you want to know why? I preached a sermon. These two young men got saved a while back. They don't want no part of this stuff. They see what's going on in the world. They don't want no part of this. And when the trumpet sound, we won't be here to witness this great atrocity that's about to hit this planet. Oh, my gosh, you think you can prepare for this? Man, there's some stuff that's going to be on this planet you are not prepared for. You think because we're dealing with the norm. There are demons going to be on this planet. You talking about you going to prepare. I've not seen anywhere in Scripture what you going to cast out all these demons. You go right ahead and try. Let me tell you something. If you ain't casting out no demons now, you ain't going to be, you sure ain't going to be casting out no demons.
No, you ain't.
Great
no, you ain't.
Because you want to know why? The Holy Spirit is going to step back and allow Lucifer and them to have their way on the unjust, not the just. Go ahead, doctor.
Oh, man, you dropped the hammer. You dropped the hammer. You on the same thing as I am. Amen. Glory be to God. Let me tell you something. What's going on now? I just got a insert put in the other day. NASA. NASA is a space exploration. They go all up in space on the moon and go past the planets and find out, see what's up there. And they found out, amen, these UFOs. Now, listen to me now. UFOs have been verified. They exist. They caught, I think, three or four of those little green men, and they were dead, and they put them on display, and they showed them what they looked like. And what they look like is little old demons, and that's what they are. They are fallen angels. And now the government is coming in the open. They have been trying to hide it for the last 70-some years. 70-some years they have tried to keep it a secret. And they found out that it's true. They're flying in objects. They're flying in saucers. They're flying in a machine that they can control. And these machines that they control is very fast. They're quick. They're anti-gravity. In other words, they have gravity has no effect on them. And now they are getting ready. These UFOs are getting ready and packing up. You know what they're getting ready to do? They're getting ready to come down here. They're already in activity. They're already working. They're already in the prince power of the air. They're getting ready to pack up and come down here. Now, the brother said, if you don't believe in the pre-rapture and you're a Christian, that don't mean that you won't be caught up. But if you are a non-believer, and you don't believe in the rapture ain't going to hold you back, but your non-belief. Because when Christ comes, He's coming after a blood-washed church. He's coming after a church without a spot or wrinkle. He's coming to get a church, make those different race, creed, color, ethnic background, and anything that's made in the image of God, and that's man, because man is the only thing made in the image of God and likeness of God. And if you're a human being, you need to be saved. And God is not going by how good you look, how much money you got, how much fame you got, because when Jesus Christ comes, he's coming out of the blood-washed church. Now, for those that believe that they're going to be here, guess what you're going to have to face? You're going to have to face every diabolical demon, every diabolical lifestyle that Satan is already on the earth, but he's going to bring more.
Amen.
You're going to have to put up with baby killing.
Amen.
You're going to have to face cannibalism. You're going to have to face the homosexuals. You're going to have to face lesbianism. You're going to have to face drugs. You're going to have to face sex orgies. You have to face the bull dagger. And the family alone could be genocide by Satan, because the world society today don't believe in the family no more. Look at the men that's having babies out of wedlock and don't want to take care of the family. Look at the part of the church. Look at the church. The church is supposed to be the light of the world. The church is supposed to proclaim the holiness of God, the righteousness of God,
Amen.
The love of God, the consistency of God, and they're supposed to hold the fear of God. But people don't fear God no more. They think he's a candy man. They think he's a guy that's going around with a Shetek case, amen, handing out everything but what he's supposed to hand out. But Jesus Christ is not a candy man. He's a son of God. He's God Almighty in the flesh. And when he came down here to die, he didn't give out no candy. No. He didn't give out no candy. He didn't give out no parties. He didn't give nothing. Well, what he did, he said, I came to do what? I come to suffer and die for your sins. And he died on Calvary's cross. When he died on Calvary's cross, he didn't do it for himself. He didn't do it to show the angels that he could do it. He died because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then the word of God that the brother brought forth in this second book of Peter, the third verse. I'm going over to the third verse, and let's read a few verses of that and see how it would be in the last days. See what God said through Apostle Peter, what would happen in the last days. Are we living in the last days? Absolutely, yes. Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
We are definitely living in the last days. You cannot, God is not going to continue on to let man do what he want to do, say what he want to say, go where he want to go. God is getting tired of people and the civilization and the families of the earth of desecrating his cross, denying his cross. He's getting tired of it, but yet still all the tiredness that he had, he still loves you. He wants to save those that want to be saved. And here Peter is writing to us. He's writing to us. Listen
Amen.
To what he said. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure mind. Now, the only person that can have a pure mind, listen to me, only person that can have a pure mind is a saved, sanctified,
Amen.
Holy Ghost, filled individual that has a pure mind. If you don't have a pure mind, you got a problem, because there's a spirit that's aggravating you. There's a spirit that denies you that you cannot have a pure mind. And the reason you cannot have a pure mind is because you're a child of the devil. Uh-oh. Did I say something wrong?
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't say nothing wrong. If you don't have a pure mind, you are a child of the devil, because a pure mind, a pure sanctified mind, can only come through Jesus Christ by the blood through the Holy Spirit that you can have a pure mind. So you can imagine how many impure minds that we got up in the house of God, that we got on the street corners, that we got at beer joint. You can't have a pure mind now. You ain't got no pure mind if you up in a beer joint. You ain't got a pure mind if you down at the strip joint. You ain't got a pure mind if you down at the whorehouse waiting in line to get one of them beauties and do your thing. You don't have a pure mind because your mind is not set on the things of God. And in order to have a mind like Christ, you got to know Christ. Oh, y'all don't hear me. You don't hear me. Listen to what I'm trying to say. You must be born again. Listen to what he said. He said, by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by what? The holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior. There's three people there that have spoken the word of God. The prophets, huh? You got the prophets. You got the apostles, and you got the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is what the Spirit is saying to him. Knowing this, that there shall come in what? The first days? No. The second days? No. The last days. Scoffers. Scoffers walking after
That's
their
right.
own lust. You talking about a lustful generation? Ooh, my God, my God. Listen, people are lusting after everything. They're lusting after women, women after men, men after men, children after early sex. They're lusting. They're lusting. Why? They're filling their own desires. They have no desire to have a spiritual mind. They have no desire to repent. They have no desire to bow down at the name of Jesus Christ. They have no desire to come to the cross and be saved. Why? Because we're living in the last days. We're living
Amen.
At the close of the church age. The church age is always
right.
got the close. Why? Because the churches are not filled. If they feel, they're not filled what? They're not filled with a whole lot of saints. They're filled with
That's
sinners
right.
and saints. They're filled with sinners. And most of them are sinners. But a lot of people say, I ain't no sinner. I'm good. I don't do this. I don't do that. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I'm white. I'm black. I'm clean. No, you're not. You're filthy. If you're living in sin, you're filthy because sin is filthy.
Amen.
Listen to what it says. Knowing this. Coming the last day, scoffers walking out their own lust. Look what they're saying. Look how they're talking.
Amen.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Hey, preacher, you've been talking about this for 58 years. You were talking about this when you was 21 years old. You've been telling me 50-some years ago that this Christ was going to come. And guess what? He ain't came yet. What are you doing? You're calling a false alarm. But let me tell you, I'm not calling a false alarm because I get my word. I get my inspiration. I get my charge from the word of God. Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago that he would come back.
Amen.
He would come back on his time. Not my time, but his time. And he said, when I come back, there's going to be a what? Falling away. Falling away
right.
from what? Falling away from what? The cross of Christ. Falling away from redemption. Falling away from sanctification. Falling away from faith. Falling away from love and mercy, because it's hard to find love today. It's hard to find mercy today. And the reason why, we're living in the last days, just like I told you. And you know what? The brother just already said, 6,000 years, the devil, Luciferians, secret societies, and rich folks, people who don't know God, is ruling the world now. They're ruling the world through Satan. Satan got control of the money system. He got control of the political system. He got control of the religious system. And now he's getting ready to control the world in a period of 7 years. 7 years of hell on earth. You ain't saw nothing yet. You ain't saw hell yet until the tribulation comes. When the tribulation comes, they tell me
Amen.
There ain't going to be nobody after the rapture of the church. There ain't going to be nobody saved who after
oh,
the rapture of the church. In other words, after the rapture of the church, there ain't going to be no but stone sinners, stone liars, backbiters, haters of God, disobedient to parents, liars, homosexual, and it's going to increase and increase. But God said, although I have removed the church, because the only reason the guard has not came yet is because he's going to get the last soul in. When he gets the last soul in, I believe he's going to blow the trumpet. And if you are not ready, you're going to be left here, and you're going to have to face the greatest dictator that ever hit this planet. Mm,
that's right.
How bad is he going to be? He's going to be so bad that you can take all the dictators from the time of the 11th chapter of Genesis and roll on down to 6,000 years and put all these dictators together, they still will not be compared that this dictator that's coming on the face of the earth. This dictator that's coming on the face of the earth is going to be what? Let me tell you something. Who is he going to be? He's going to be what? The devil in the flesh. The Antichrist is going to come first. And when the Antichrist do his little fake miracle, his little phony miracle of being resurrected from the dead, and the only one's going to resurrect it from the dead is the devil. The devil's going to be cast out of heaven. Oh, this is coming. This is coming, brothers and sisters. Please listen to me. And the devil is on his way down here. He's packing his bag in first and second heaven. And when
Amen.
He packs his bag before he can leave heaven, guess what? The church will be raptured out because the devil has no more to do with the church, and the church has no more to do with the devil. And Jesus Christ said, I'm going to remove my body out of this horrific time that's coming, and then I'm going to pour out my wrath. But before I pour it out, I'm going to give the world. Lord, have mercy. Listen,
come on,
Lord, have mercy. I'm going to give the world one more opportunity.
One more
of
chance.
7 years of hearing the gospel.
Lord,
well, you
mercy.
Say, well, who's going to preach the gospel? Well, God said, I got 144,000 Jewish men, virgin men. Men who have never been connected with the world. Men who have been separated for the works of God. They ain't going to be preaching no motivation speeches. They ain't going to be having no tent revivals.
Right.
They're not going to be having no come up and give me your money. They ain't going to have no need for money. They ain't going to have no need for food. They're going to preach for how long? They're going to preach for 3.5 years.
Amen.
Oh, y'all ain't got the point. Get the point. The Jews have not fulfilled their ministry, and God said, I owe the Jewish nation 490 years to deal with the Jewish people. I have dealt with them for 483 years. In order for me to deal with them the last 7 years, I got to remove my body out of the way. And my body are those that have been born again, washed in the blood, and sanctified. They're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forevermore, and we will be a witness in heaven looking down on earth to see what's going on. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah, praise God. I won't be here. Now, maybe you might be here, but I don't want you
Amen.
To be here. You need to be saved.
Amen.
You need to be sanctified. You need to
That's
come
right.
to Christ.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Football, basketball, recreation, banquets, parties. Oh, that's what the world is doing. Oh, man, they're so busy now. Man, they're so busy. It's going to be the same way as in the days of Noah. So shall it be when the Son of Man comes. They're marrying and they're remarrying. Men are marrying men. Women are marrying men. The bulldoggers are coming out. The transgenders are coming out. The incest is coming out. The family incest and the family is coming out. It's all over the nation. Men today have become so wicked. And God says, I love the world so much, I don't want it to perish. And he already done died and suffered and went back to heaven. Now he's waiting for the world to make up their mind. But the world seems like to me, they done made up their mind. They're going to tell God, they're going to tell Christ, they're going to tell angels. And I'm going to get a little vulgar here. They can tell, they're telling God and the angels, they're telling everything in heaven, the hell with you. I'm not worried about this salvation. salvation. I'm got my women. I got my men. I got my money. I got my cars. I got prosperity. It's all in my blood. And I'm going to live lusciously. I'm going to live richer. I'm going to live richer because I know, you know, some people know that they're going to hell, but they don't realize.
That's right.
They don't care now. But if you go to hell, you will be in a sorry state because I'll tell your mama. I'll tell your daddy. I'll tell your sister. I'll tell your dog. I'll tell your cat. If it was possible for cats to be converted, I believe cats could get converted. But cats, salvation was made for cats and dogs. Salvation was brought to this earth by the loving God in Jesus Christ, and he died. Oh, yes, he did. He died. Yeah, he died for to save man from sin. But man said, I love sin so much. Oh, my God. I love my women. I love my men. I love my daughter, because you know there's a lot of incest in the families today. Men are using their daughters and using their sons for prostitution. And the porno is spreading worldwide. And men are snatching children from the street corner. Good God Almighty. And then you sit here and wonder what's going on in the world. Don't you know 6,000 years is almost up for Satan? And Satan is making a rampage now. He'll go through your life and rip it apart. He'll eat your flesh up and throw your body in hell and say, this is what I want to do. I want to keep you. I want to keep you from knowing who Jesus Christ is. And if I can keep you away from the cross, if I can keep you away from the blood, if I can keep you away from salvation, I got your soul. And some people believe that they can work their way to heaven. You got big shots working, trying to work their way there. You got bishops. You got preachers. You got church members believe that if they sweep the church floor, if they're secretary of the church, if they sing in the choir, that they're going to heaven. You can go to heaven. The only way you can go to heaven, you got to come by the cross. And listen to what he says. Go down a little further. Where's the promise of his coming? Well, since the fathers have fell asleep, things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Things are going on the same time and the same way from the days of Noah. Going on day after day. Year after year. Millennium after millennium. Decades after decade. Scores after score. Satan has been roaming. And he's not getting tired. He's roaming. He's destroying young people's lives. He's destroying family lives. He's destroying men who rejected Jesus Christ. But one thing he can't destroy. Ooh, he cannot destroy a saint of God. He cannot do the saint of God no harm, because he's born again, born of the Spirit, born of redemption, born of the love of God, born again, washed in his blood, cleansed in his blood, sanctified in the blood. He can't hurt me. He can't hurt my soul, because my soul is in the hand of God. Jesus Christ said, no man can pluck you out of my Father's hand. In other words, my eternal salvation is secure. In other words, I can't be lost today and found tomorrow, and found today and lost tomorrow. If you save one time is enough, because Jesus Christ died once. He only can save one. And when he died once and for all. Now you can be a child of God. And a lot of people say, well, what if I sin again? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to sin again after you get saved. But one thing about it, watch this now. Watch this. You don't practice sin.
That's right.
You don't practice sin. And practice sin, meaning that I'm going to practice to take drugs. I'm going to take drugs because I'm going to practice sex. I'm going to practice lying. I'm going to practice adultery. If you're practicing that sin, most likely you ain't saved, because you have no power of the Holy Ghost in you. But when you get saved and sanctified, separated from sin, you grow in the grace of the Lord. You grow through the years. You grow through the months. You grow and you grow until you get to a point of maturity, and you can stand against the wiles of the devil, because you know his tricks. You know his clicks. Because let me tell you, some people get saved and some church folks, they get saved. He ain't gonna stay saved long. He'll probably be back out there. Well, you know what? You know what's going on? They're getting jealous. Hey, they're getting jealous. And see, the devil gets jealous when somebody gets saved. They don't want her to be saved. The devil don't want
you
to be saved. Of all the things in the world, the devil don't want you to have is salvation. Don't
That's
you get saved. You get saved, you'll lose your friend. Good. Because everybody ain't your friend. If you get saved, you ain't gonna be able to do this and do that. Good. Because there's some things you don't need to do. Some things don't do nothing but bring disaster. And the world is saying, nah, you got to give up this and give up that. Wait a minute. It ain't your judge. You ain't the judge for what to give up. It's Jesus Christ. He's the judge.
And
let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes into an unclean vessel, guess what that Holy Spirit does? It cleans the vessel up. It sweeps it clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the world today, church folks, been in the church for 50, 40 years, don't want to see nobody get saved.
That's
if you
right.
Want to see
Amen.
Nobody get saved, get out there on the street. Go visit house.
Amen.
Go tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Tell the world. You in there fighting amongst each other. You're cussing at each other. You're lying at each other. You're going down to the cat house. Good God Almighty. And you're messing around with women. You're messing around with somebody you ain't got
Amen.
No business messing around. If you got a wife, stay with your wife. If you got a girlfriend, don't be a crook. Don't be a liar. If you love her, love her. If you want to marry her, marry her. But don't be giving her babies. Don't be giving her and messing her life. Not messing her life up, but you're hindering her life, amen, to come to Christ
right.
sometimes. Because some people have sinned. They have sinned. They said, Lord, don't want me. The Lord don't want me no more. I've been a wicked girl. I've been a wicked man. But God said, I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how bad you think you are. If you want to be saved, you can come to me and get
Amen.
What? Jesus Christ will save your soul. I know what I'm talking about. And that's the only thing I want people to do is get your soul saved. Know who Jesus Christ is. He says, for they are willingly ignorant. Got a lot of ignorant people today of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved into the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This is what the world don't want. The world do not want Jesus Christ to judge the world. The world. And some folks don't want Jesus Christ to come back.
Amen.
Now.
Come
those
on.
Those that are doing yeah, well, true. Those that are having a good time, they don't want Jesus Christ to come back. And you know what the
Amen.
Church should be preaching? I'm going to tell you exactly what the churches should be preaching. They should be preaching salvation through
salvation,
Jesus Christ
it.
And him only. That's what they should be preaching. And they should be preaching salvation through Jesus Christ and living a holy life before God, before men, before your sister, before your brother, and proclaiming the goodness and mercy of God. And the church should be preaching from Genesis to Revelation, especially the church should be lifting up the book of Revelation and let the world
That's right.
know there is a judgment coming because Revelation is the judgment of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth to judge the world in righteousness. And then starting it off, woo, because there has been already two judgments upon the face of the earth. The first judgment
That's right.
was water. God judged the world with water. And what? He killed. He slaughtered. He drowned it. Almost the whole world. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. He
Amen.
Almost drowned the whole world because it was corrupt. And what is the world today? It's corrupt. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, the number that comes to Christ is going to be few compared
That's
to
right.
the majority
Amen.
Of people who reject Jesus Christ. You can't reject the ark because the ark is no more in use. You can't reject nothing, amen, that that's going to save you. The only thing that you can reject, that you be lost, is Jesus Christ. Don't reject him. Come to him now. Amen. Come to him now. I'm going to give it over to the brother. Just 1 minute as I finish this last verse. It says here, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. God will
give
the devil 6 days, or in other words, 6,000 years. He will give the devil because he took over the earth in the Garden of Eden. He took over mankind. He said, I got mankind now. I got him. I got him. And since I got him, I'm going to destroy him because I'm jealous at God. I'm mad at God.
Amen.
Ooh, the devil got a lot of hell in him against God Almighty. And he is furious about what God is doing. He don't like what God is doing. And he was saying, if God loves you so much, why don't he do this? Why? And the God is trying to find blame. The devil is trying to find blame in God, but there's no blame on God. His blame is
that's
on
right.
Lucifer.
That's right.
And Lucifer is saying, I'm going to destroy God's creation. Guess what? He can't do it. He got almost a whole generation destroyed under the flood. And only how many
that's
people?
Right.
I can count them on my hands. I can count 8 people on my hands.
8 people.
8.
Amen.
Hey, come on, y'all. Jesus said, broad is the way.
Amen.
The lead is into destruction. Straight is the way. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth into life. And very few will find it. And the world today, very few people are finding salvation. And I know there's a lot of people being saved in God's eyesight. A lot of people being saved. And you know where they're being saved at? Overseas, in foreign countries.
Amen.
Behind the iron curtain. You know what people have been saved? In the same asylum. You know what people have been saved? In the prison house. You know what people have been saved? On the side of the street, living in tents, don't have no place to go, don't have nobody to take care of. Jesus Christ is saving folks on the street. Where's the church?
Yes, he is.
Where's the church? Where's the church? Church folks ought to get their Bible and read it, pray, fast. Hey, on Mondays, on Saturdays, we're going to go out on the street and we're going to tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And whether they come to our church or not, what we want to do, we want to introduce them to Christ on the street. You don't have to go to church to get saved. And just because you go to church, that don't mean you're saved. Just because you walk in the garage, that don't mean you come out a mechanic. Good God Almighty, because you work while you work in the church and sang in the church, don't mean you're going to walk out and be a Christian. The only way you can be a Christian, you've got to come to Jesus Christ. And
amen.
Guess what? I'm getting ready to come. I'm going to give it to the brother. Hey, guess, 6,000 years are almost up. There's a binding of Satan at the end of the tribulation period. Jesus Christ is going to let 144,000 preach. He's going to let 2 witnesses preach. After they get through preaching, the world is going to witness to the gospel, and then the end shall come. 3 angels are going to go out and circle the earth, and they're going to say, whoa, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, for the devil has come down. They're going to say, give God the glory. So the angels are going to be able to preach the gospel. Why? Because God wants everybody to hear this gospel.
Amen.
Not
come
gospel,
on, doctor.
But gospel. Gospel, good news. Your soul can be saved from hell. And don't go to hell. Please don't go. Don't go for yourself. Don't go for your mama, your daddy, your sister. Don't go. But I know somebody that went to hell for you. Went to hell for you. And delivered the sin package.
Come on,
Satan.
Doctor.
Told Satan, hey, Satan, okay. You got the world. You got it. You got it in pretty bad shape. But look what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you all the sins that you caused man to do. I come back to hell to deliver the package. I took all the sins of the world upon my body. They whipped me. They lied on me. They disfigured my face. They did everything they could to make sure that I don't come back from the dead. But here I am, Lucifer. I'm going to give you every sin that you did against the human race and caused the human race to do, and I'm going to give it back to you. And I'm going to let you know right now.
Amen.
I'm going to let you know right now, Lucifer, you two-faced, barefoot, moron. I had to think of a name. Moron, I paid. Good God Almighty. I paid for Bizarre's sin. I paid for Jackson's sin. I paid for your Aunt Mabel's sin.
Amen.
I paid for every sin that each individual did. And here it is, Satan. Now, it depends upon the person whether they want their sins forgiven by faith. You come to Jesus Christ by faith and by repenting of their sins and turning away from sin and degradation and confess with their mouth and believe with their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what Lucifer,
amen,
I'm going to set them free when I go back on top side. And Jesus Christ has been on top side for 2,000 years, and he has saved millions of people from the time of Pentecost until this present day. But the church age is almost over.
Amen.
At the end of the tribulation period, Satan will be done. He's going to be locked up. Good God Almighty. You talking about shouting. I'm shouting now. But when they lock that critter up, when they lock that low-down, bare-faced, double-foot, baboon or whatever name that's proper to call him, they're going to lock him up and put him in prison and all his demons. His cohorts are going to be locked up with it for 1,000 years. The 1,000 years will be a time in which Jesus Christ will be able to rule on this earth with a rod of iron that's called the great millennium reign of Jesus Christ, because Satan is going to be bound in the pits of hell, the bottomless pit, and he's going to stay there for 1,000 years. And I rush on. I'm going to rush on. I want to finish this. I'm going to let the brother have the rest of it. After the 1,000 years are up, Satan's going to be loose one more time. Lord, have mercy. You see, God got to do this because he got to prove to the human race and prove to the angels.
Amen.
And prove to Satan. Hey, Satan, there's one sin I can't blame you on. Well, all the other sins, I can blame you. But this is one sin that I can't blame you. And the old devil with his grunt himself, two-faced, looking ugly as hell itself, what is it? And the Lord going to say, unbelief. Because that's the sin of mankind. I'm going to prove to the whole universe there's one sin that the devil cannot do. That's unbelief, because the Bible says the devil believeth. The devil believeth.
Yes, he do.
And he trembles at the cross. He trembles. He knows the salvation at the cross. And we got people living today don't recognize that salvation belongs to Jesus Christ at the cross. They don't want to receive it. And so the millennium reign, Jesus Christ is going to prove himself by being here 1,000 years, and those that came through the tribulation in their natural bodies will be able to repopulate the earth for 1,000 years, and babies will be born, and they will grow up, because the age limit will come back from 70 years old to 300, 400, 500, 600, and they're going to repopulate the earth, and they are going to witness Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. They're going to see every nail print. They're going to see every head print. They're going to see every whip on his back, and they're going to look at him. They're going to touch him, and guess what? After the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be loose one more time. One more time.
Oh, have mercy.
One more time. He will gather all the unbelievers that saw Christ, looked at Christ, touched Christ. They still will not accept him as Lord and Savior. And he's going to get a group of people, and it's going to be the second Gog and Magog war on the earth in Jerusalem, because God is going to rain fire and brimstone on his host that he gets out of the millennium reign. Now,
amen.
Here it is. I'm getting ready. After the millennium reign. After the millennium reign. After the millennium reign. And here's the final judgment. The judgment of the wicked, of the unbelievers, of the whoremongers, of the lesbianism, of the homosexuality, of the abomination that man has done against God, the adulterers and the adulteress, and the, oh, man, you talking about wicked, you talking about low down. They are going to stand in the middle of the universe, spread it out like a curtain. And God Almighty,
amen.
The throne, that's why I call the great white throne. White throne. Purity. Sanctification. So holy that he can't look upon sin. So holy that he can't tolerate sin. So holy that he can't live with sin. So holy that anything that's not like him, they're going to look in a book, and then another book was opened.
Amen.
I'm going to see your name in the book of life. Now listen to this. If your name, the wicked, is not in the book of life, you will be cast. You will be cast into the lake of fire. And this includes rich men, captains, bad men, ugly men, dirty men, loose women, whores, unbelievers, unbelievers. Hey, you don't have to be a prostitute to go to hell. You can be an unbeliever and go to hell. So I'm not saying that a prostitute can't be saved, because they can be saved.
Amen.
But I'm talking about people who disbelieve. And guess what? All the laughing. Oh, my God. No, my God. All the laughing that they did in their lifetime, and all the sins that they've done, all the horrific things that they said against the Christ of the Lord of heaven, all the time they laughed and joked about salvation and what God ain't going to do. He's blind. He's crazy. He's dead. Oh, they're going to have to bow their heads down. And he said, if your name is not found in the book of life, the angels are going to have a busy judgment, a busy judgment. I don't know how long it's going to take you to take all them billions of people to cast them in hell, but the angels going to be busy, because I can't find in no scripture where it says, and all those will walk to hell. You ain't going to walk to hell. You ain't going to run to hell. You ain't going to run
Amen.
To hell.
Amen.
You ain't going to do that. You're going to have to be picked up and shoved off of the side of the pit and thrown into what? Gehenna. The
Lord have mercy.
Of fire with brimstone and fire, and you're not going to hell because of the sins you have committed. You are going to hell because you refuse to get your sins forgiven and forget that you need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why are you going to hell? You reject the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no 99 and a half. There's no there's no 99.999999999. They used to sing a song, 99 and a half won't do. Oh, that's an old song. And 99 is still on the list. It won't do. You got to have 100. Jesus Christ will make 100 if you come to him today. And if you come to him today and turn from your wicked ways, turn from your own self-religious, with your
That's
religious
right.
self, and come to Christ and fall on your sin-bending knees, because I don't fail on mine and still falling on mine. I ain't perfect. I ain't self-righteous. I ain't the big guy. I ain't the little guy. I'm just a child of God. Brother Tim Jackson is just a child of God. We're out not to bum rate you.
That's
We're not
right.
out to
That's
talk
right.
about you. We're not out to criticize you. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And let me tell you something. It's going to be too late if you miss
Amen.
The rapture.
Amen.
If you miss the rapture, then I want to let you know, whatever you do after the rapture, listen, whatever you do, don't believe nothing. Don't believe nothing that this Antichrist is going to put down, because he's going to put down some sweet stuff. You talking about some sweet talking. You talking about some love talking. He's going to talk so sweet and so kind that the lady folks are going to fall all over this man. And he's alive today. He's alive, 55 years old, come from Spain, the king of Spain. It's not King Charles. He's too old. King Charles didn't come from the European common market. King Charles came from Britain. But this Antichrist is coming from the 11th horn that was spoken by Daniel the prophet, and the 11th horn was Spain. So he's coming out of Spain. I'm telling you this because it's in the Bible. Mm. God wouldn't let me come up here and tell you all this, this news that people, if I tell people, I got a picture of it, if I tell people that, this is Antichrist. Oh, how do you know? How do you know? I don't know, but God knows. And what the Lord tells me, I speak it. I don't have to put my faith in reverse and start all over again. That's Bible. He's coming out of NATO, and NATO is getting ready to link up with this one world government. And they're getting ready to make more robots. They're getting ready to make more AI. They got them, honey. They got these women robots looking like real women. Good God almighty. This is crazy. We got people trying to buy them now. $500, you can get you a woman. And you can have sex with this woman. And I tell them right now, you can go ahead and try it if you want to, but if she locks you up and you can't find a computer chip to put in there to let you loose, you got a problem. Woo! They're using them. And people are going out of losing their jobs. Over these robots. And then I'm going to close. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy, brother. Let me say this. Oh, yeah. Okay. In Revelation 13 chapter, we will find that there's going to be an image set up in Jerusalem called the image of the beast. This image is a beast. It's coming from AI, a robot that's talk like a human, think like a human, and move like a human. They're going to set it up on the Temple Mount. And the Antichrist is going to be in the temple after he do a fake resurrection, and he's going to say, I am Jesus Christ in the first part of the tribulation. In the second part of the tribulation, he said, I am God. I am God Almighty. Why? Because Satan resurrected the Antichrist from the dead. That's why he can say, I'm God Almighty, because it was Jesus Christ that was resurrected by God Almighty. And that's why the Bible says, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Well, Satan said, well, I got something for you. I'm going to do one too. So he raised the Antichrist from dead because he's going to be assassinated. And in the middle of the tribulation, he is going to be cast out of heaven, and he's going to come to earth, and he's going to bring all his hell angels with him. All of them. The Nephilim. The demons. The UFOs are going to land on this planet and invade it.
That's right.
And infest it. And the world's going to say, we already got in contact with these little critters. They ain't nothing but demons.
Mm.
And Jesus Christ, in Revelation 9th chapter, wrote to John, told John, look at the 9th chapter and open up a what? Open up the bottomless pit. I got something in there. What you got in there? I got some scorpions. I got some scorpions in there. I got some wicked angels that are so wicked that I can't let them go until the tribulation time comes, and when they are going to be on the earth for 5 months. And they're going to sting men that they want to die and can't die. They're going to be walking zombies. And let me tell you, we got demons walking on the earth now.
That's right.
They call it shape-shifting. Shape-shifting. They're in the government. They're in the Illuminati. They're in the secret society. They got them placed. And the devil got certain territory where he can work at to get into the actual territory. They're already in the government. They've been in the government ever since 1776. A lot of people
Amen.
They've been in the government since 1776.
That's right.
From 1776 to 2023, the government is being ran by Illuminati, and the Illuminati got the sense enough to try to use Christianity and Illuminatis together, but it won't work. You cannot be Illuminati worshiping the devil and then turn around and say, I'm a child of God. Because let me tell you, you can't serve two gods, and the one that you're supposed to serve, you're not serving, and you're calling the one that you're serving that's the wrong God, you're calling him Jesus Christ. That's a lie. That's blasphemy. Because God is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. And there's nothing that he can do wrong. There's no mistake that he can do wrong. He never stumbled over the universe. He never cried. Because they never made a mistake. He's right on time. And guess what? That's where you will see John the Revelator close at the 20th chapter, the 21st chapter of Revelation, and the 22nd chapter of Revelation. After the judgment of the wicked dead is cast into the lake of fire, God is going to set the world on fire. That's where the end of the world will come. The end of the world, meaning the end of Satan, sin, degradation, killing, murder, the end. If
that's
you want
right.
to find anywhere somebody got murdered, you got to go to hell because there's going to be a whole lot of murder down there.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be trying to kill each other, and they're going to be able to kill each other. Why? Because it's an everlasting fire where it never goes out. Nobody will be laughing. Nobody will be joking. Nobody will be going to the golf course. Nobody will be playing pool. Nobody will be going swimming. Nobody will be jocking around talking about, man, I'm good. No, you're going to be crying and weeping, and there ain't going to be no tears. Don't go to hell. John said, 22nd chapter of what? Of Revelation, the end. He said, I saw a new heaven, brand
Amen.
New, just come out the printing press. Woo! God is going to burn it and purify it. And when he burn it and purify it, he's going to make a solid mass of nothing but earth. Because the Bible says, no more seeds. And seeds
right.
represent separation. Oh! And then he said, good God Almighty, I think I can finish this. He said, and then I looked. And I saw New Jerusalem, brand new. Good God Almighty. And guess who designed it? God Almighty. Jesus Christ said, I'm going away to a fair place for you. If I go away, I will come again. He said, in my Father's house are many a mansion. Let me tell you something. I got a mansion somewhere. I know I got a mansion. I know I've got a mansion because God saved me to preach the gospel. And I preached it. I preached it. I hammered it. I nailed it out. I've been on TV. I've been on radio. I've been on the streets. I made a booklet about 8 years ago on Revelation. I made 100 of them. I delivered them out. I'm still delivering a little bit out because a lot of people I can't get to, I just say, now you read this for yourself. I'm a witness. I've been working in the field. Brother Jackson been working in the field.
Dead Amen.
Thinking about what God is calling to do. We ain't preaching for fame or glory. We ain't preaching to just get a little handshake. We ain't preaching. What we're preaching for is souls of men. Souls of men. We don't want to see nobody die and go to hell for nothing.
Amen. That's right.
This may be my last time. This may be the Brother Jackson's last time.
Amen.
Don't go to hell. Please don't do. If I could see you, if I could walk where you at, I would say, don't go to hell. Come on. Don't depend up just going to church. Don't depend upon your mama and your daddy. Don't depend upon your good looks, if you have any. If you got good looks, then you're going to lose it. Everything
That's
you got,
right.
you're going to lose it.
That's
if
right.
you live to get old, you're going to lose it. I know about that.
Mm.
I'm almost 79 years old. Hey, man, things I used to do, I don't want to do no more. The things that I like to do, hey, man, I can't do it for so much now. I can't work on cars like I used to. Ooh, I can't run like I used to. I can't see like I used to. Yeah, but that's all right. I'm getting ready to shut it down. I hear Brother Paul say, after this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I have another building, not made with the hands, but in the glory for me. And Brother Paul said, well, I know in whom I believe in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed to him against that day. And then I heard Brother Paul say it in the Roman jail. He said, I'm not apprehended, but this one thing I know, I'm pressing on to my high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. And then he said, now look, I'm ready to go now. I'm ready to go to the guillotine. I'm ready to get my head cut off. That's all right, because let me tell you something. After I leave hell, I know a place in heaven for me. That's Brother Paul. And I know one day there's a place in for those, for all those that suffered for the Lord, love Christ, and held up the bloodstained banner. There's one for Brother Jackson. I know that. Praise God. There's one for me. There's one for everybody that what? Accept Jesus Christ and come to him and get your soul saved so that when that trumpet blow, we'll be out of here. God bless you. Brother Jackson, walk with it. Lay down the sledgehammer. Amen. Offer that offering to the altar.
Amen, Doctor. Amen. Awesome word. Amen. Awesome word. It's a blessing. Amen. To be here on with you. It's a blessing. Amen. To be in the land of the living. Amen. To be a blessing to the saints. Brother, I mean, when I tell you, you hit the nail on the head with the hammer. Amen. When you went into Second Peter, amen. And what I was going to talk about some of next week, and I had some things that I was going to say, you already covered.
Yeah,
amen.
Yeah.
You already said it. So, amen. Yeah. Ain't no need of me. Ain't no need of me. Going back over, I'll save it for another day. I have my notes and my scriptures and everything. Amen. But I'm just going to save it. Amen. There's a few things I'm going to say.
Go ahead.
Amen. In regards to the
amen.
Word. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. We do it. Don't take it personal. Let me say that first and foremost, because, you know, people sometimes kind of take it personal when we preach and we say certain things. Don't take it personal. We love everybody. Amen. We want people to receive salvation. Amen. If you feel like, amen, that you're right and we're wrong, it's like I've always told people since I've been saved. Paul and Peter disagreed on their disagreement. Amen. You're not going to agree with everybody. Amen. I have a brother in the ministry. Amen. I have brothers in the ministry. Amen. I have mentors in the ministry. Amen. Whether I agree with everything they say or almost everything they say, that's fine. Amen. We can't fight over the small stuff. That's small stuff. And I tell people, I stopped arguing about the Bible back in 2004, almost 20 years ago. Amen. I told God, I said, I'm not going to argue with people no more. You know, we have a difference of opinion. We just have a difference of opinion. I always say this. If you believe, number one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
If you believe that Christ came and died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead. And if you believe that once saved, always saved, then the
Come
three
on.
Main things with me, then I don't have a problem with you. Amen. The rest could be sorted out. Because I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe.
Yes,
I believe
sir, brother.
One God. I believe that there's only one God that created everything. Like you said in Genesis, he created heaven, the host of heaven. He created earth and the host of earth. He created everything that's in existence from nothing, from absolutely nothing. You're talking about a powerful being that can create something out of nothing?
Nothing.
We ain't begin to even see the works of God. We don't even know what God is, and I can't wait to see him. And the most awesome thing about that is that he loves me and you. God loves us unconditionally. He desires that we be with him. And I desire to be with him for all eternity. And can you imagine that such an awesome being? Look at us. We ain't nothing. Little old bitty us on the earth. We less than ants. We like a grain of dirt on the earth, a grain of sand on the earth. And God looked down, and he loved us. Little old me. Little old you.
Thank you, Lord.
He thought
Lord.
Enough. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. He thought enough to send his only begotten son to save little old poor wretched me. This old filthy rag.
Praise God, brother.
This
me too. Me too.
Rag. Amen, doctor. Amen. He thought enough. Man, that's what brings joy and tears to my eye. He thought of
me too.
That's why I was sitting the other day. It don't matter about how people treat you. It don't matter about where you are. I got salvation. It don't matter
come
how
on,
much money I don't got. It don't matter how much money I do got. It don't matter who hate me. Amen. Who my enemies, who don't
Amen.
Like me. It don't matter. See, when you come to this side, man, God will show you so much. He'll show you so many things. The Holy Spirit, God embraces us. He loves you like a baby. My God, we all
yes, he does.
You should. I know I love
yes,
babies.
He does.
I love babies. They are so cute and pretty, and they smell good. I love babies. I love my children when they were little. Amen. I love
yes,
them now.
Yes, amen.
God
yes.
loves you like a little baby. God don't want you to lose your soul. God loves
Come
you so
on,
much
preacher.
That he gave his only begotten son. I couldn't imagine.
Holy.
Amen. I got a number of kids. I couldn't imagine just having one child and giving them away, more or less all six of them. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. But God loves us so much that he
yes,
gave his
he does,
only
brother.
Begotten son. It don't matter if we agree or disagree on everything. Don't get caught up into that stuff. I tell people, I stopped sweating the small stuff long time ago. I'm past
time
all
ago.
That. You know, people be wanting to debate with you and stuff. I just look at them. I let them know, brother, I don't argue about it. But I state what I state. I say what I say. Either we're going to agree or we're going to disagree. And if we don't agree, that's fine. I love you anyway. I'd rather laugh and fellowship and have joy and love and peace with you than to
mm-hmm.
be fighting and going back and forth and arguing. Going over, you know, people want you to go over. So people do that stuff. Or they have the Bible
yes,
out.
Sir.
I
yes,
just
sir.
Look at them. I said, brother, sister, I don't do no more arguing. Sister, I don't do that. Especially
I don't argue, no.
in front of the world. That's what the devil wants. You don't want to confuse people more. Absolutely. The world is already confused. You got so much confusion in the world, so many different doctrines and so many different theories and what this person believes, what that person believes. Look, I believe the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe that God sent his only begotten Son.
Yes,
whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting. I believe that God raised him from the dead. I believe that he shed his blood for my sins on Calvary cross.
God,
I got people right now that I don't believe he can. I don't believe in all that. I have friends that say stuff like, I believe in God, but I don't believe him in that way. And I'm like, well, okay. I don't argue. I still show him love, speak to him, you know, whatever. You know, I may go to our house, they may come over to my house. You know, I got a good friend, you know, been knowing since childhood.
Yeah.
You know, go to his house, his kids, you know, and some things he say, and, you know, all I can do is love on him and teach because he was brought up different. Amen. His dad was kind of, I ain't going to say he was kind of, his dad was out there. Amen. And so he's kind of taking that persona as his own. Well, I'm like my old man. All I can do is pray
yeah.
for them. Pray for people
Come
like
on.
That. Whether they
Come
believe
on.
You, we ain't got time to argue and fight. You don't want to
no,
push
sir.
People
no,
away.
Sir.
The Bible says, if Christ be lifted up, we draw all men. Keep lifting up Christ. Keep living for him. Because you want to know why? If you whoop somebody here with the Bible, what you think they're going to do? They're going to run. And they may never come back. We don't want that. We don't want to lose people. We want to bring in as many. So we know what the Bible says. That straight
Amen.
Out the way. Amen. But few find it.
Amen.
The great is the way, is the path that leads to destruction. And many will go in there. Well, that's what the scripture
yes,
says.
Sir.
We know that. But you don't want to lose people because you're trying to prove a point because you're arrogant. You don't want to do that. I've done that in the past in my baby years of being. So I used to be very arrogant when I first got saved. I did think, oh, I'm better than you because I'm saying I used to be like that, but I don't do those things. I used to look down on people. And, man,
Come
don't
on,
be
preacher,
gay.
Tell it.
Oh, man, don't be gay. Oh, I'm letting you have it. Why, you know? And then, you know, you come to realize over years the Holy Spirit reveals to you don't treat people like that. People have had things that happened to them when they were children, when they was a child that they could not help. People have no control of the things that's done to them as a child, whether it was something that were where they was in love or maybe somebody did something to them or took advantage of. We don't know these people's stories. And so this is why society is affected the way they are. Amen. I've met this woman one time. She told me when she was a teenager, her own two brothers took advantage. I couldn't believe it. I said, you got to be joking. She said, no, her own two brothers took advantage of her. And she told her mama said she was lying. I'm like, your own mama? She said, yeah, your own mama told you were lying. You told her that? Yeah. She said she ran away as a teenager and said she never went back home. I said, Lord have mercy. She said, Tim, she said, my folks don't know if I'm alive or dead. And this woman at the time probably was like in her 40s then. I think she was a little older. This was many years ago. She was a little older than me at the time. I was like, really? She said, yes. And my parents don't know if I'm dead or alive. I said, you ain't been back home? She said, I don't want to go back. And she was out there in the streets, out there in the world. And so, again, we have to pray for people. We don't know what path people have been down to drive them to be, you know, living the life that they're living. A lot of women that's in porn and prostitution. Women been out here been prostituted. I've heard, you know, women share a story with me about stuff that happened to me. I had an ex-girlfriend that shared some stories that with me. I was in shock. And we just never know. So I've learned to be less and a lot less judgmental on both men and women. What has impacted people's lives. People are hurt. And as I said the other night, hurt people. That's real. Hurt people. When you see people acting ugly and nasty, somebody's hurt them. I deal with it all the time on the job. I'm like, boy, who hurt you? Just being nasty and ugly. Then you walk in the back, they're in the back of the job crying. What's wrong with you? Why are you crying? But you were just being ugly the other day. They just hurt. I had a young girl who was like that. She would give me a hard time on the job. I walked to the back in the back. She back there just bawling. I said, Lord have mercy. And it's, again, these folks have been through trauma in their life. And all the thing we could do is pray for because the sad part about it is you'll try to talk to them about salvation in Christ. They don't want to hear that. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I said, you just don't know. If you come to this side of the door to take us, I'll wipe away all your tears, take away all your fears. He'll take all that away from all that pain and stuff. He'll take that away from you. That's the worst thing, that they don't want God. I'll never forget when I was young, before I even got saved. You know how when you raise up in the church and people are going dealing with some things and you try to ask, I just asked, I said, well, have you tried God? I wouldn't even say. I was just trying to help the young lady out, you know.
Come on, preacher.
The young lady dated for a short time, and I was just trying to help. She said, I think she had mentioned something about suicide. So I was a nice-looking young lady. I was like, no, you don't want to do that. And I said, well, how you thought about going to church and stuff like that? I don't want nothing to do with that. Lord have mercy. People take their lives every day on this planet.
Every
we don't
day,
know what
brother.
They've been through every day. You know, I saw a commercial yesterday. I don't even know if the commercial is true. It said every 40 to 50 seconds somebody commits suicide. I said, that can't
suicide.
Be right. Every 40 to 50, I mean, every minute somebody commits suicide. I don't even know if that's even true. That's a lot of people dying. That's got to be well in the millions throughout the year that commit suicide.
Suicide.
And I didn't know that during the holidays is the worst time of the year. I thought it was the most joyous time. It's the most worst time of the year. They say more people take their lives around the holidays than any other time of the year. People are hurt. We got to be praying and going to war. As the saints, we can't be fighting against each other. Whether you agree with what I say or preach, whether I agree with what you think and what you say, at the end of the day, we can't get into that. We just can't. There's a far bigger battle, and Lucifer wants you to fight one another. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? He behind the scenes just stealing souls. He's just behind the scenes just taking souls to hell because that's what he wants. He don't care about what's happening in your pain. He don't care about what happened to you when you was young. He don't care nothing about that. Devil says, so what? If I can't, I'm going to take you to hell with me. You think you've been through something. I'm going to show you some real hell when you get down there. That's what that's what he wants. You think you've been through something. You think you're crying now. You're going to be hollering and crying and everything else. That's what he wants. I don't want that for you. Elder Bazaar don't want that for you. We don't hell in the lake of fire and death on anybody, enemies and all. We don't wish that on no. Because you want to know why? It's a nightmare. You can't even imagine. People think they can imagine. Man, let me tell you something. You can't even come close to thinking what hell is. People think that they're making it easy on themselves by committing suicide. Well, I'm going to take my life. You just made it worse. Because you think now you at peace. No, you ain't at peace. You in hell. If you didn't get saved, you are in hell. And
come
the Bible
on, preacher,
says, God, there's no more on you than you can bear. Come to this side. This is the best place to be, on this side.
Best place.
Say, man, it don't matter. You know, I told y'all earlier this week I had a little situation that happened. I said, man, I'll put that in God's hand. I'll go on, man. You know, you got to ignore people. I'll put that in God. And people try to attack and be ugly all the time. It don't matter how it make me feel. It may make me down and out. It may make me mad. I still say I'm going to put that in God's hand and go on. And then next thing you know, God can fix it. God and man, he didn't fix the situation. You know what? God can do far more exceeding than you and I. He can do so much. We be worried about it. I have just learned, as Paul said, I've learned, one, to be content. Number two, I've learned to give it to God. I stop stressing. It ain't going to do me no good for me to be stressed. It ain't going to do me no good to be talking negative, to be worried about it. I said, man, I put that in God's hand. It begins to be too much. You be stressed. You let your blood pressure get up. You let folks get up under your skin. Your blood pressure be high. Next thing you know, you be at the doctor, in the hospital, taking medicine. I don't need that. I don't need that in my life. You won't be ugly by yourself. As Paul said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Let folks be ignorant. Let them be ignorant. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Let God.
Yeah.
I ain't got time to be trying to go all behind folks, trying to sit there and plot and plan a way to get back at people. Boy, I don't have time for that. That's too much work. It's too much of my time. I got so many other important things I could be doing. I could be spending time with my family. I could be studying. I could be reading. I could just be having fun, enjoying my day and my time. I don't have time for that. Vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Let God get revenge. Because you want to know why? For one, it's going to be far. What God's going to make them pay far greater than what you could anyway.
Come on.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
So why waste your time? Romans 10:9-10. If you want to become saved, amen, amen. If you want to be saved, Romans 10:9-10, amen, I'm sorry. If you want to be saved, we got five more minutes. I want to show you something. If you want to enter in at the straight gate, if you want to miss hell, if you want to miss death angel, you won't even see the death angel when you die. My dad used to always say,
amen,
when we were younger, he said, ooh, the death angel's a gruesome-looking angel. You don't want to see him. Now, I don't know where he got that from. Maybe that was some spiritual interpretation that was revealed to him. But he used to always sure say it. He said, death, he used to tell one of my older brothers, he used to talk to my dad about the Bible. My dad said, you don't want to see death. He said, when you die and you're not saved, he said, ooh, that's an ugly, gruesome angel you're going to wake up to.
Yes, it is.
When you
die on
this side, amen, when you die on this side, you're going to wake up and you're going to be on the spiritual side. He said, that's an angel that you're going to be staring at that you can't behold. He says, a terrible-looking something. And he's been murdering and taking souls since after the Garden of Eden. That's 6,000 years he's been taking souls. And I can't imagine the stench from him, from all them souls. Death stinks. Think it don't. Be around a dead body after 3 or 4 days. Body smell.
Come on, preacher.
I imagine hell has a stink, too.
It stinks.
Of sin.
Yes, it does.
It stinks of sin. Amen. It stinks of sin.
Yes, it does.
Lost souls. Don't go to hell. Like the brother say,
go
to Timbuktu. Go to New York. Go to Madison Square. Go to Dallas, Texas. Come to Dallas if you want to. Go on down to Houston, Texas, around by Austin if you need to. Amen. You can come on up.
Amen.
Lubbock, Amarillo, Midland, Odessa. Amen. You go down over to El Paso. You come to Texas if
come
you want
to.
Come on to Texas if you want to. Amen. But whatever you do,
come on.
Like my brother said, don't go to hell. Lord, have
don't
this.
Go.
Don't go. You can't handle hell. All these folks that they can handle all this stuff, man, you can't. Trust me. We just little old me. I'm just little old me. I'm just a man that God made and showed his grace and mercy for. I'm not trying to handle all that stuff. I don't need to. I don't need to put nothing to nobody. I let God handle it. I got saved 23 years ago, and I gave it to him. Romans
come on.
10, 9, and 10. Amen.
Yeah.
Let God fight your battles. Don't be up here stressing and struggling and all that stuff. Let God fight it. Let God
let
do
him
it.
Fight
amen.
Him.
Let him fight him. Yeah, amen. Yeah. He'll do a much better job than I can. I'm sorry, bro. I didn't mean to take up so much time. Let me read this real quick. Romans
you go ahead.
10 and
you
9.
You got it. You got it.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, the Holy Scripture says, thou shalt be saved. In other words, you will be saved beyond the shadow of a doubt. You go into heaven. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Come on and join the winning team. I'm not a loser by far. I've won
on,
my
bro.
Whole life. Amen. I've won my whole life. I don't even know what losing looks like. I've been blessed. I don't know about you, but I have. Not bragging about
come
but
on,
I look back at my life and say, you know what, Tim, I have truly been blessed. And I want to continue to be blessed.
Yeah.
Who don't want to win? Who don't want to win? Come on in and let Christ in so that you can win and be prosperous. Amen. We love each and every one of you. We'll be back on the air Wednesday night. Amen. Brother, I believe it's 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. East Coast.
Yes, sir.
If you're
yes,
on the
sir.
West Coast, I believe it's 6 p.m. We love you. Just come on in and fellowship with us. We'll be here until the trumpet sounds.